phone call because a voice on the other end of the line was just so excited. David, he said, I finally did it. I did it. After praying about it and thinking about it and talking about it, this morning I had a moment of clarity on my way to work. And when I got to work, I mustered up all the courage I had and I turned in my 2-week notice. I said, wow, that's a huge change. How do you feel? The man said to me, I feel amazing. He said, I feel great. I've been going to that assembly line of a job for too long. Every day was becoming more and more of a burden. And right now, I just feel so free, he said. Absolutely free. Free to do whatever it is I want to do. Now, I must admit, I was a bit jealous of my friend in that moment. Now, don't get me wrong. I love my job. I love you people. But I also love the beach. And I love getting 8 hours of sleep at night, and I love the idea of not having to check my email each and every day. He just seemed so happy. I wanted some of that happiness. But I was not expecting our next conversation. You see, 3 months passed. I talked to him again. I said, tell me, how are you enjoying your retirement? Expecting him to tell me about all the rounds of golf he was playing or the next big trip he and his wife were going on, only he didn't say any of those things. Instead, he looked at me and he said, you know, it's not exactly what I expected. He said, I get up every morning and I make coffee. My wife goes to work. I do a devotion and I go outside and I pick up pine cones. I've got the cleanest yard in the neighborhood. Then I come inside and I sit down, and for the next 6 hours, I try to think of something meaningful to do. It's funny, he said, you know, the whole reason I retired was because I wanted to be free. But now in my retirement, I feel more imprisoned than I've ever felt before. I feel like a prisoner of my house. In that moment, I realized I was no longer jealous of my friend's freedom. You see, we all need a purpose. We all need some reason to get out of bed in the morning. That's why you were created, after all. You were created to work, to do good. You were created to contribute to this kingdom of God that's beginning to take shape. We all need that kind of calling and vocation in our life. But what happened? When you outlive your purpose? What happens when the kids go off to college and they no longer need you to get them ready for school in the morning? Or when the company hires your replacement and they're no longer asking you for your advice on how they should move forward? What happens when you give up on your purpose? Or worse yet, what happens when it's taken from you? And you're left wondering what to do next. What happens then? You see, for 3 years, the disciples knew exactly what they were supposed to do every morning. For 3 years, they knew their purpose, their calling, their vocation. They would travel with Jesus from village to village to watch as they would announce the kingdom of God to the world. They would be there with him as he performed miracle after miracle, healing people, transforming lives. He would cast out demons, lift up the brokenhearted. There was no doubt they were making a difference in the world around them. They were doing something meaningful, but then one day it all changed. One day Jesus turned to him and said, in a little while, you will no longer see me. I'm going away, he said. I'm not going to be with you, he said. All of a sudden, that calling the disciples had, that purpose the disciples had, was gone. Now, Jesus was going to his Father's house, and well, when he was in his Father's house, they couldn't follow him. They couldn't go from village to village with him. They couldn't be there to announce the good news of God's kingdom with him. They couldn't watch him perform miracle after miracle after miracle. Their purpose, their meaning, their vocation was taken from them. they didn't know what to do next. So a man said to me once, David, you know, ever since Dad died, I don't know what to do in the afternoon. He said, every day for two years, I would go over to his house and we'd play cards together after work. I would tell him about my day. He would tell me about his treatment. And sure, I complained from time to time. Sure, it got to be old after a while, but now that he's gone, well, I've realized I don't have anyone to play cards with. Solitaire, it's just not for me. The disciples had a purpose. They had meaning until one day it was gone, and Jesus took them to the top of a mountain to say goodbye. And yet Matthew tells us that when Jesus took them to the top of the mountain to bid them farewell, he left them with a parting word. He said to them a parting commission. He said to them, go now. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. You see, at the very moment, at the very point in time, when one purpose ended for the disciples, God gave to them a new purpose. He gave to them a new meaning, a new commission, a new calling, a new reason for them to get out of bed in the morning. Oh, you thought it was over, Jesus said? You thought your work here was done? No, he said, my purposes for you have only just begun. Yes, make no mistake about it. From your very first breath until your very dying day, you are here for a reason. You have something to contribute. You have something to give to this world. God is not done with you yet. In fact, as far as I can tell, the word retirement, it is not in the Bible. Not in the Greek, not in the Hebrew. It doesn't exist. Instead, in the scripture, people of faith, they don't retire. Instead, they redeploy. When they outlive one of the purposes of their life, God gives them a new purpose, a new opportunity to keep them moving forward. And so at the age of 51, Julia Child began to teach the world the joy of cooking. And at the age of 66, Noah Webster decided he wanted to write a dictionary of the English language. And at the age of 77, John Glenn went to space for a second time. And at the age of 81, Nelson Mandela was elected president of South Africa. And at the age of 90, Albert Schweitzer was still a doctor to anyone who was hurting. Oh, it's not over, Jesus said. I'm not done with you yet, he said. No, your contribution to this kingdom, it has only just begun. A new purpose I will give you. Tony Campolo is a retired professor of sociology at Eastern College in Philadelphia who tells the story of a friend of his who lost his job teaching college English after his university did not grant him tenure. Tony said he reached out to his friend 3 months after he was fired from his position, just wanting to check in. The now former professor had moved to New Jersey. He was living in an attic apartment. The only furniture there was a bed and a couple of beanbag chairs. Tony said to him, tell me, how are you doing? How are you hanging in there? The man said, you know, I'm actually doing okay. He said, actually, I think not getting tenure, it might have been one of the better things that has happened to me in my life. After all, he said, you know, I loved being a student, but I'm not sure teaching was for me. Every day I'd give a lecture and, well, it just felt like a little part of me died on the inside. Tony was surprised by the answer. He couldn't help but ask. He said, well, tell me, what are you doing now? How are you paying for yourself? How are you feeding yourself? And the man said to him, I am a mailman. A mailman, he said? With a PhD in English? Yes, he said, there are not too many of us out there. Tony replied, well, you must be the most overqualified mailman I have ever met. I bet you are great at your job. The friend said, no. No, I am a terrible mailman. I'm the worst. He said, every other carrier gets his letters out by 1 o'clock in the afternoon, but I never finish my route until 6 o'clock in the evening. You see, he said, when I started delivering the mail, I noticed there were a lot of little old ladies there at home. And I don't know why, but I just got this feeling like they didn't have a lot of people to talk to. So every day when I deliver the mail, someone will invite me in. And we'll sit down and she'll offer me a cup of coffee and we'll talk. It happens again and again and again. It's such a great time, although by the end of my route, I'm just shaking because I've had so much caffeine and cups of coffee. Most of the time, I don't know what we're talking about. But there's something about those conversations. There's something about those cups of coffee, they feel significant, almost sacred. I don't know, I'm grateful for the opportunity. Now, I know people told you they were your golden years. I know you thought your work was done. But I'm here to tell you, God is not finished with you yet. I'm here to tell you that from your very first breath until your very dying day, you have a purpose, you have a reason. You have a reason to get out of bed in the morning and something to contribute to the world around you. So go. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And remember this, wherever you go, whatever calling it is God gives you for this season of your life, God says, I will be with you always, even until the very end of the age, a new purpose I will give you. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray with